The Gemara told the story about the Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Yeshayahu HaNavi, that each one was standing on ceremonies, each one didn't want to go visit the other one, till finally the Baruch Shalom made Chizkiyahu take sick, and he told Yeshayahu should go be with the Chayla, and give him Tarchacha and so on. So then the Gemara continues to speak a little bit about this Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He went down in history for six things. Tana Rabbanon, the Gemara has on Yudam and Beis about the 10 lines from the top, 13 lines from the top. Shisha Dvar Masa Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He did more than six things, but he did six things of historical significance. Three he did first on his own, all the six. On three, the Rabbanim approved, and three, they disapproved. Ashlosha Hodolo, the first one is gonna say for Refuas. Everyone who was getting sick was just going to the doctors, and they weren't davening to the Rabbanim Shalom. So you have to be mispal. So he closed all the medical schools, and he hid all of the medical books, and no more medication. So they can only Rashi Kadeshi Ivakshu Rachman. This is a big machlokes. What's the din? So the Ramban al Torah, followed by the Vilna Gaon, feel that a religious Jew is supposed to have bitochen. He's not supposed to go for surgery. He's not supposed to go to a doctor. He's supposed to be mispalut to the Rabbanu Shalom. Not really allowed to go to a doctor. It's not right. The pasuk says, "V'rapa yirapa mikan shenitna rishus l'roifa l'rapa." It means that the doctor shouldn't be afrume on the patient's cheshbon. The doctor will say, "I'm not going to treat you because you don't have any bitachin. You should really go to your rabbi and you should be saying to him you should daven. So I'm not allowed to treat you." So that says in the pasuk, "V'rapa yirapa nitna rishus l'roifa l'rapa." The doctor is permitted to treat the patient based on refuah, b'derech ha-teva, even though the patient is really doing wrong, the Jewish patient is doing wrong by not having bitochen. So this, but there is such a thing as a medical school, there is such a thing as a doctor, there is such a profession. So the Vilna Gaon says that's for nochrim. That's not supposed to be for Jews. Jews are supposed to have bitochen, they're supposed to daven, they're not supposed to go to a doctor. The generally accepted opinion is not so. The generally accepted opinion is that you're obligated to go to the doctor. In addition, you have a chayvus hishtaglus, and in addition to going to the best doctor that's available, you have to be mispalal also. So it's usually assumed, not like that Ramban, not like this Vilna Gaon, that the Gaon's Sefer Refuas was a hirua shor for that generation. There was so much samech on refuas, they were not mispalal at all. So in order to reverse the trend, he hid all of the medical books that they should get used to the practice of davening. But then once they got used to the practice of davening, then he opened again the medical schools. And you have to have some combination of both together. Rabbi Nezer has a tshuva where he makes a compromise between the two opinions. He says it depends what type of sickness the person has. It's a sickness b'vifneim, a sickness b'vachutz. He thinks that sometimes we should follow the Ramban. I don't know, the common practice is that we never follow the Ramban. The common practice is that everybody always goes to doctors. We assume you have the obligation to go to the best doctor that's available. And in addition to going to the doctors, you have to be mispalal as well. Yeah.
Couldn't say that we're just people of lesser bitachon today.
Not really. We assume that even with bitachon, that's foolish. That's not right.
It depends on the individual. It's not dependent on.
But we don't assume like that. We assume even if the person is a tremendous bal bitachon, he's mechuyev to go see a doctor. A person, Rachman Anslan, has cancer. So what do we can daven from today till next year? The cancer is not going to go away by itself. But Mamish, he's asking for a miracle. You're not allowed to ask for a miracle. So you have to go b'derech ha-teva, and then b'tziruf with the derech ha-teva, and you have to be mispalal also. We don't really follow that Ramban at all.
Ramban's not assuming you're samech on nisim when you're davening.
That's what he sounds like. You're not samech on nisim, that's bitoch. I don't know. What's the second thing he did? Kites nechasha nechoshes behodolo. The Bnei Yisrael and the Midbar were being punished. They were being bitten by snakes. So the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, "He say lecha, I say lecha soraf, yisim osa al neis. You should make the nachash anachoshes." So when the people would look at the nachash anachoshes, they would get healed. How did it work? How does that work? Medicine, you have to swallow, you have to rub it on your skin, you have to apply it, you have to take a bath in it, you have to do something. You just look at the nechash and nechashas. So the answer is, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is, v'chi nochash me'emis ha'nochash mechaya, but by looking at a nochash, how does that work? So the answer is, b'sho shem istakman klapi ma'ilam ishabin ha'masiblam la'vim shevashamayim. So then it works. But then in the later generations, the Nechash HaNechoshes was still around, and people viewed it as a magical thing. You look at the Nechash HaNechoshes and all of your sicknesses will be cured. So that's terrible. That's an Isa Nichush. That's an Isa Loisa Nachshu Loisa Neinu. So he destroyed the Nechash HaNechoshes, and no one should be able to violate this Isa of Nichush.
It was still working then?
I don't know whether it was working or not, but the people thought it was working. People thought it was working, so they always ran to the Nechash HaNechoshes. So that's an Isa Nichosh. You're not allowed to do that. In the days of the Midbar, it worked because they were Mishabdim Aslibim Lavim Shabashmai. But it's just magic, so that you're not allowed to practice this kind of black magic. So he, even though the Nechash HaNechoshes was made by Moshe Rabbeinu upon the instructions of the Ribbono Shel Olam, so nonetheless, he chopped it up. He destroyed it. Was there an Isa? Was it Hegdish? It doesn't say it was Hegdish. Chumash was not an Isa L'Sas and Kein L'Hashem L'Kech. It wasn't Kodesh. It was an antique. It was quite a valuable antique from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it was, Rabbeinu Shlomo told Moshe Rabbeinu to make it. It must have been worth millions of dollars as a collector's item. So he destroyed it because he felt that it's important to break this this practice of Nichosh. So the Chachamim approved that. Then Giratz Musav and Mikdash Rabbal Mahodullah. His father was his father. There's a din of Kibbut Av, and his father was the Melech before him. So there's a din of Kvod HaMelech. There's a din of Kibbut Av. The Gemara says Mechav and Mechav and Mechav the Lacham also. Din of Kibbut Av implies after the father is no longer alive. That's a deal whether the din of Mechav the Lacham also. That's a brice in Kiddush in the end of the first parak in the Sugya of Kibbut Av. That's a question whether that's their Isa, their Rabbanim. If the Pharisee saw on the Mishnah, makes a suggestion, maybe it's only the Rabbanim. Okay, even if it's the Rabbanim. But there still is a din of Kibbut Av, even Lachamisim, maybe it's only the Rabbanim. Then there's a din of Kvod HaMelech. The Pashto says, we assume there's a din of Kvod HaMelech, both Mechaim and Lachamisim. Both Mechaim and Lachamisim. So nonetheless, despite the fact that there's Kibbut Av, despite the fact that there's Kvod HaMelech, he was Mevaze, his father. One would have thought that he should bury his father. Rashi says, "Lotzio kahoygen properly b'mita zov achesed, as is due to royalty." So, nonetheless, he was mavaza the father something terrible because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if a person, the Gemara says in Ma'ikot in the third parak, one who suffers bizyonis at the time of the burial, that constitutes a mechilas avinus. Usually, yisurim amachaprim when a person has yisurim while he's alive. That was the Gemara earlier. There's Yisurim She'enim Shalav, and then Yisurim Shalav. So Yisurim HaMechapa while he's alive. But even Bizyonis, in connection with the Kvura, are also Mechapa. So he wanted the father to get a Kapor of his Aver, so he's Mevaza the father. What happened to the Kibbut Av issue? So Rashi writes, Lefisha here, Rashi Bizeh, well, Onog by Kovit Bikvuras. Rashi over here doesn't explain it fully. Rashi in the same Brisa appears where? In Psochem Nunvo. I think Rashi writes in Sochim that the din of Kibbut Av doesn't apply because Nasi bi'amcha lo yisar ba'isa ma'isa amcha. The Gemara says if he's saying oisa ma'isa amcha, so there's no din of Kibbut Av. This is a problem. That's a machlokes the Tur in the Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Mamrim that the din of Kibbut Av applies to parents even if they're not religious, even if they violate all the mitzvahs hatorah. It's still a din of Kibbut Av. The Tur quotes the Rambam and Hilchos Kibbut Av Simei Reish Mem and disagrees. He says it's against the Gemara, the first daf in Ezel Neshech, where the Gemara talks about a man who was a loan shark and he made all of his wealth on charging ribbis to Jews. He lent money to Jews and he charged ribbis. And after he dies, the son wants to cover up over the fact that the father made all of his money by taking ribbis, so the son is going to return all of the ribbis that the father collected during his lifetime, Mishum Kibbut Av. So the Gemara says sometimes it's meaningful. So the Gemara says, why should the son give back all the ribbis, Mishum Kibbut Av? The Gemara says, V'nasi Bais The father was not oisa maisa amcha. The father was a balavera. He was charging ribbons. The Gemara says, the father did tshuva before he died. The Gemara says, what kind of tshuva is baloney? Tshuva is only if you did an aver ben adam la machmas. So you do tshuva, so the Rabbanu Shalom accepts your tshuva right. You did an aver ben adam la chavero. You have to first give back the money. You have to first apologize to the person. If you didn't apologize, you didn't give back the money. So the tshuva doesn't get off the ground. The Gemara bracha is also like that. Reisa tamachachem shover aver balayla al taharacha bayom. Vada yosu tshuva. The Gemara says, "Vahani mili if the avera that he did was ben adam la'machon, but if it's ben adam la'chavero, so the tshuva doesn't begin until the person is machzer the mammon and he asks forgiveness from the other one." The Gemara does not consider it gzeila. The Gemara says that the chei achicha imach. It says when you lend, you're not allowed to lend beribis. So what do you mean? So there's a machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer in the first daf in Ezel Neshech. And Rabbi Lozer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So usually when there's a machlokes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Lozer, we pass like Rabbi Yechanan because it was his Talmud number two. Whenever there's machlokes Rabbi Yechanan in any of his contemporaries, we usually pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan Allah Rabbi Yechanan. Shmuel Rabbi Yechanan Allah Rabbi Yechanan. Vishlokish Allah Rabbi Yechanan. Except for Rabbi Shulam Alevi, we discussed a few times. So here the Gemara says this is an exception to the rule. We pass like Rabbi Loza, the ribis kitzutza is yotze b'dayon. If I collected ribis deraisa, I'm achiev to give it back. And that's how Rabbi Loza interprets the pasuk. V'chei achicha imach, ahadalei, give back the ribis ke'echa d'nechi b'hadoch. So the Gemara has a comment there in Ezer Neshech, only lididei azrachmana, librei loy azrachmana. Oh, that's the Gemara in the end of Bava Kama. Gemara says, "Lididei azrachmana, this mitzvah of hashavas agzela only apply hashavas haribis kitzutzo. Ribis sheni kitzutzo is not yotze b'dayanim. Only ribis kitzutzo, ribis deraisa. So ribis deraisa is yotze b'dayanim. Only the malva himself has the obligation to give it back. When the son gets it birusha, the son is not mechuyev to give it back. That's why some." The Rambam gives his list of what he considers the minyan mitzvahs. The Ramach mitzvah sesi, the Shasam mitzvah sesi, and the Ramban is masik. He deletes some of the mitzvah sesi, some of the mitzvah sesi. He has to replace them with others. So he gives you his suggestions, what he thinks the Rambam hashmat is, what the Rambam left out. So one of them that the Rambam left out is this one. The Ramban counts it, and the Rambam didn't count it. So the Megillas Esther is the commentary on the side of the Sefer Mitzvah. It always comes to defend the Rambam from the Hasagas of the Ramban. So the Megillas Esther writes, the Rambam holds that that's included in Veheshev Esagzeil Ashegozan. Giving back the ribis is Veheshev Esagzeil. So the Avnei Nezer points out that that's a very difficult Megillas Esther. That's not really accurate. Because if my father stole something and I get it birusha, my father dies, I get it birusha, I have to give it back. The Gemara said, "Beferish, hagozel amachil." The father stole and he dies, and he leaves gigamdet the property for the children. The children have an obligation to give it back. It's not even yush v'shini v'shus. We pass on v'shus yorish is lavki v'shus lakeach. When the yorish gets it, it's not considered a shini v'shus. Even if there was a yush, you have to give it back. Kal b'chaim if there was no yush, the Gemara says you got to give it back. So the heishav is hagzeilo is one mitzvah sase that the Rambam counts and. The mitzvah says that to give back the ribis cannot be counted as the same, as identical with the Heshev HaZeila. This is not a form of gzeila. Taking ribis is not considered a form of gzeila. When the fellow agrees to pay me interest, I lend him $1,000 and agrees to pay me 10% interest, he agreed. That's not considered gezel, it's an issa. If it would have been considered gezel, it should be an issa to take ribis from a non-Jew as well. Gezel achim is not permitted. It says Nechumish, he permitted to take ribis from Nechumish. It's not Gezel. The Gemara says if you would have only had the pasuk of the Issa ribis, you would have been able to establish an Issa Gezel from a Kavachayma. If you're not allowed to take ribis, Kavachayma, you're not allowed to take someone else's property, Gezel. But if you would have a pasuk of Gezel, you wouldn't be able to figure out in a million years that there's an Issa ribis. Why? What's wrong with ribis? Kodem Matan Torah. There was nothing wrong with ribis. After Matan Torah became awesome. So that's the taima that Avnei Nezer has. Avnei Nezer has a whole section on Hilchas Ribis where he has comments practically sif by sif on every sif in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Ribis. Hilchos Ribis is a self-contained topic. It doesn't extend out to other areas like Gittin v'Kiddushin in Ksubis and Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basa. Everything, there's overlap, cross-references from one Masechta to the other. And even in Kochim and in Moyed, everything is interconnected. The Sugis is interconnected. Ribis is not connected to anything else in Paltikot. That one parak stands alone. Ezer Neshech stands alone. So the Avnei Nezer has a whole country that's called Bris Achim. Bris is the same letters as Ribis. So he says that the din prohibiting Ribis is like a club for the Bnei Yisrael. And all the members of the club are not allowed to charge Ribis to each other. When it's not a member of the club, they can charge us Ribis, we can charge them Ribis. They're not part of the club. But this is a special Bris Achim. It has nothing to do with Gezel. And he has comments practically on every sif in Yeridei, and Hilchos Ribis is very sharp. He's always very sharp, but here he's Moiridik sharp. And he tries to bring Mishalim from Kol HaTorah Kulo to explain Din and Ribis. His Mishalim are always very, very good. But the Pashtus is that it's not that Ribis is not a Din of Gezel. It's a separate Din. So the Gemara says, if the children want to give back the Ribis, Mishum Ki Berav, that's an Inyan. The children are Nitam V'chech Echimach, Hachzoras Ribis Kitzusa, that only applies Lididei to the Malva himself, Librei Loyaz Rahman. That's the Gemara in Perak HaGoizel. That HaGoizel, if the father stole and he leaves over Birusha to the children have an obligation to give it back. But if the father collected Ribis, the children do not have an obligation to give it back. That mitzvah is only on the father. Nonetheless, Mishum Kibarav, he should give it back. So the Gemara says, what kind of Kibarav? But the father was an Eino Isa Maisamcha. If he did the Aveir of charging Ribis, unless it was B'shoigig. But we assume it was Bemezid. They knew about it. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a case the father did tshuva. The Gemara says, what kind of baloney tshuva? Tshuva, you have to give back the money. The Gemara says he was working on it. The father was in the process of it. He was making a list of all the people that he owes ribis to, and he wanted to give everything back, and he did tshuva. He wanted to apologize. He didn't have a chance. And then the children should help because of kibbutz. But the Gemara says, if the father didn't do tshuva, so then there's Eino Isa Maisa Amcha, so there is no Kibarav. That's the taina that the Tur has against the Rambam. How can the Rambam say that there's a mitzvah of Kibarav even if the parents are not religious? Isn't it against the Gemara in the first daf in Ezel Neshech, the first Amud Aleph in Ezel Neshech? That Eino Isa Maisa Amcha, there's no mitzvah of Kibarav here. The Or Samech writes over there, what's the mocker for the Rambam? The Rambam is against the Gemara. What's the mocker for the Rambam? There's a mitzvah of kibbutz even if the parents are not religious. So he quotes a Gemara in Perek Ben Sora Mora. The Gemara says that the din of Ben Sora Mora, the Gemara has a discussion. Does the din of Ben Sora Mora apply if the parents' marriage is a forbidden marriage? Father's a kohen and the mother's a grusha or something like that. Fathers are mamzer and the mothers are Israelis. They're not allowed to be married to each other. So the Gemara has a discussion over there. So the Or Samech says, if the parents are Bali Avera, the whole din of Ben Sor Mor is based on Kibbut Aviyem. That's how the Rambam sets it up in Hilchas Mamrim. There's a din of Kibbut Aviyem, and then Shamed B'Kaleinu, the child is in violation of Kibbut Aviyem. So sometimes it's such a severe violation, we can predict in advance he's going to turn out to be a gangster, so he's Nerag Al Shem Sofa. But if there's no din of Kibbutz Aviyim, so how do you have a whole din of Ben Sor Mor? So how can the Gemara talk about such a situation where the parents are married by Avera? They're married by Avera. So the Eino Isa Maisa Amcha. So the Or Samech says that's where the Rambam got his mocha from the whole discussion in the Gemara in Perek Ben Sor Mor about when the din of Ben Sor Mor applies if the parents are married by Avera. The Gemara never raises this issue that there should be no Kibbutz. So it would appear from the simple reading in the Gemara that there is a din of Kibbutz. What do you do with that Gemara in Ezel Neshech? The Gemara says, "Ein oisem ma'isamcha." There's no kibbutz. So the different suggestions are given to defend the Rambam from the kasha of the Tur. The Hagos Maimli on the bottom of the page quotes those who disagree. I think he quotes the Tur. Is that possible? Yes, it was before the Tur. Yeah. So what does he quote? I forgot already. somebody quotes the Tur on the bottom of the page, and maybe the Hagos Maimon just asked the Kasha also on his own. How can the Rambam say that the din of Kibbutz Aviyim applies even when their parents are not religious? It's against the Gemara in the first half in Ezel Neshech and Hilchas Maimon. Yeah. So the different terutzim are given to Farefer. So one of the terutzim that they give is here in connection with Chizkiyo HaMelech, there is a Yerushalmi where the Yerushalmi poses this question: how is Chizkiyo HaMelech Mevazeh his father? After all, his father was the Melech, and there is a din of Kibud HaMelech even Lachamisas HaMelech also. That was he allowed to be Mevazeh the father? So the Yerushalmi answers, but Rashi writes in Mokim Shenoga Daf Nun Vav that the father was a Rasha. But the pasuk says that Achav HaRasha was for sure a Rasha. He forced everyone to worship Avodah Zarah. He didn't permit anyone to be able to regel to Yerushalayim, to worship the true religion. And nonetheless, the pasukim say Eliyahu HaMelech was Eliyahu HaNavi was running in front of Achav to be mechabed him. Aishanah says Masnov, and the Rambam quotes the pasukim that Eliyahu HaNavi was mechabed Achav even though he was a Rasha. So the Yerushalmi answers that it makes a difference whether the Melech is alive and the Melech died. Normally there is a din of Kvod HaMelech even after he died, but if the Melech is a Rasha, then we distinguish. That's the Yerushalmi in Megillah. That Kolzman, the Melech is alive, there is a din of Kvod HaMelech, even though he's a Rasha. After he dies, there's no din of Kvod HaMelech. So that's what some Achreinim want to say, that's the Teretz on the Rambam. The Rambam writes that there's a din of Kibud Av, even if Aviv Rasha, that's while the father is alive. But the Gemara that says Mechabda Mechay Mechabda Lachamosa, there's a din of Kibud Av even Lachamisa, so that doesn't apply if the father was a Rasha. So the two kashis are for emphasis here. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was Mevazeh his father because he was a Rasha. So Eino Yisa Maisa Amcha. So he violated Kibud Av and he violated Kvod HaMelech, both. So what's the teretz? So the teretz is Lachamisa, there's neither Kibud Av nor Kvod HaMelech whenever the fellow was a Rasha. What's the Biur HaDovah? Just stop to say Mechayim Malachamosa. What's the biur? In the yeshivas, they say the hezbra. The shaila is what's the nature of the din of Kibud Av? What's the nature of the din of Kvod HaMelech? Is it a mitzvah bin Adam Machavera? Is it a mitzvah bin Adam Lamokam? Is it? Let's concentrate on Kibud Av. Is it a mitzvah bin Adam Machavera that I show a debt of gratitude to my father Hakoras HaTayif because of the fact that he brought me into the world and he took care of me and so on? Or is it Ben Adam Lamakom because the Minchas Chinuch has this Shaila? And the Maram Shik has a tshuva about this, Halacha Lamaisa. Is it Ben Adam Lamakom as the Gemara says, Shlosh Shutvim Yesh Ba'adam Ova V'ima V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is invisible, so how can you be Mechabed the Rabbanu Shalom? So the Rabbanu Shalom tells the Bnei Yisrael, if you'll be Mechabed your parents, I'll consider it as if you're Mechabed me because we're all Shutvim together. And if you'll be Mevazeh your parents, I consider it as if you're Mevazeh me because I'm a Shutvim with your parents. So one can view the mitzvah of Kibud Av as a mitzvah shebin adam lamakim. So this is the shad. So it could well be that this is exactly the chilik. Mechayim, it's both bin adam lamakim and bin adam lachavera. After a person dies, after the father dies, he can't have a shibud bin adam lachavera to a dead person. That's what Avnei Nezer has a yesod. He has a gemara like that above a kamba. There's no shibudim to a mace. Can't have shibudim to a mace. But Adam Machaveh has to be a living person who can be a Toveya, Al-Fidin. A dead person can't possess any property, and he can't possess any Bailos on Tzchusim either. So you can't say that there is Shibudim to a mace. So Kolzman, the parents are alive, so not only is it a mitzvah bin Adam Lamakam, it's also a mitzvah bin Adam Machaveh. So bin Adam Machaveh, one owes a debt of gratitude to the parents, even if they're not religious, even if they're anti-religious, even if they're communists, and they're atheists, and so on. But once they die, so there's no longer Shibud bin Adam Lachavero, so the only issue you can discuss is Kibud Av Mitam bin Adam Lamakim. What kind of bin Adam Lamakim? That they're Shutvim, and the Rabbanu Shalom feels, if you show kavod to your parents, it's considered as if you show kavod to me. So this kind of Shutvim, the Rabbanu Shalom Mestamim Mevatim Han, this is his partner. The parents who are anti-religious, the communist, atheistic parents, they're Shutvim with the Rabbanu Shalom. The Rabbanu Shalom says, show kavod to your parents, I'll consider as if you show kavod to me. So if it's lachamisa, then the Gemara says, if the father was ein oisem by samchan and never did tshuva, so then there's no kibud av lachamisa. And the Rambam is talking about nechayim. That's how the Maharsham quotes from his brother. Maharsham was a major posik. He was a rabbi in Berzhan, in Galicia, 100 years ago. And his brother was also a prominent Talmid Chacham. So in the middle of his Sefer on Yeridei, he has a whole section of he'oris and halacha from his brother, so this is one of the ha'oris. He suggests this teretz on the Rambam based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi makes the chilik between Kvod HaMelech, Mechayim Alach HaMisa. And you can say the same hezbah by the Kvod HaMelech also. Kozman, the Melech is alive. So it's both a mitzvah bin Adam Lamachem and bin Adam Lachaber. What do you mean bin Adam Lamachem? Because really the melech over Eretz Yisrael is really the Ribbono Shel Olam. Yerushalayim is referred to as Kisei Hashem. Because Man Shal Malach Boilam, Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Hakisei Shalom, Lasi Lovei, Yerushalayim will be referred to as Kisei Hashem. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyah, at the beginning of Yirmiyah. So really, when you mechabed the melech in a certain indirect fashion, mechabed the Ribbono Shel Olam, the melech is supposed to represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. But medvam amurim, if he's a religious melech, if he's from the Shas party, or from the Aguda, or something like that. But if he's an anti-religious atheist, it doesn't represent the Ribbono Shel Olam. So it's not a way to be mechabed the Ribbono Shel Olam. So then it's only achi of kibud ben adam lachavera, not ben adam lamavim. So if the melech is alive. If the melech is alive and he's religious, so it's both ben adam lamakam and ben adam lachaver. If he's alive and he's anti-religious, then it's only ben adam lachavero. He's running the country, so you have to show kavod. But once he dies, so to a dead person, there's no shibudim, and there's no ben adam lamakam mechlab because he was an avarian. He was ein oisem maisa amcha. That's how the Yerushalmi distinguishes. Yerushalmi doesn't give the hesbah, Yerushalmi just makes a statement that the Kvod HaMelech only applies while he's alive and not after he died if he's a Rosh. He's a Melech Rosh.
While he's alive and king, I mean, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if they fire him, the Mishnah talks about firing a Melech. Mishnah in Ksuvos talks about firing a Melech and firing a Kohen Gadol. Apparently there is such a thing. Whoever had the right to appoint him in the first place has the right to fire him. He's mismane b'peh, he's mistalek b'peh. That's what Tosis quotes from the Yerushalmi. Tosis in Yuma, Daf Yudbeis, quotes Yerushalmi about firing a Kohen Gadol, and the same applies to hiring and firing a king. The Sanhedrin, the Rambam quotes, the Sanhedrin has to appoint Eim Eman HaMelech Al Yisrael Al Pi Bezdin Shalshim V'Yechod Ki Yoshua Sheminei Moshe Beis Dinoi. So the Sanhedrin who appoints the king has the right to fire the king. So then the Mishnah has special dinim. In Parshas Vayikra, there's a din of Soyer Nasi. If the melech is mechal Shabbos b'shogeg, he doesn't bring a kizbo or sira like a regular balabas. He has to bring a soyer nasi, a soyer. So the Mishnah discusses the Mishnah in Hirius discusses what's the din. Mishnah in Ksubis also. What's the din if the Gemara in Ksubis? What's the din if the melech was mechal Shabbos while he was a melech and he didn't get to bring the carbon until after he was fired already? Not retired. Retired is a different thing. If he was fired, retired means he still has a din of melech, but he's not active. But fired means we took away his title. He was mistalek b'peh. Kishem shem mismana b'peh, kach mistalek b'peh. So the Tanoim have a whole machlokes. How is he miskaper? Does it go basa shas avera? Does it go basa shas avoas hakorban? And does it go basa shas idias avera? When he came to the realization, ahodalach atasa shechata ler. How do you determine what kind of a carbon he has to bring? So there is such a thing as firing a melech, canceling his status as melech. Yeah.
What about the concept of ein melech b'lo am? Ein melech b'lo am. Would that be the same concept?
Ein melech b'lo am. I don't know if that's a pasuk, that's a melitza that the Sifrei Kabbalah have. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to be a melech, so he created a world because ein melech b'lo am. He wanted to be a melech. The melech has to be accepted by the people. Okay, that's another thing. So that was the third thing that he did. The hodalah chachamim, they were masking. Gira atzim sav meitzer shel chavalim. He wanted his father to get an atonement. His father was an bal avera, so he wanted him to have a kapora. So he was mevazehim. The Gemara says not only yisurim while a person is alive, amechaprim even. Suffering bizyonis at the time of the kvuri after the person is dead already also serves as an atonement, as a kapar. So this hodol lo chachamim.
The fact that you have to give back zayin for the tponim of the nigzal, that's not a raya. It's a problem of chavera even lachamisa. Why should you give this to the nitzvah?
I stole something from the nigzal. And when he dies, so he has this chus mamas. And when he dies, everything he has goes birusha to his children. So karka, metal plim, and shibudim, whatever he has. So this goes to the children.
But my shiva is to him. There is no shiva to the dead person. It should become bottle.
No. So that if he would be a ger shemez, vein lo yoshim, then it would become bottle. But whenever he has yoshim, so whatever property he owns goes birusha. So whatever shibudim he has. If people owed him money, so now the other money to the yoshim. When people owed him chiyuvim, so they have the chiyuv goes over to the yorshim, but to be mechabed kibud Mechaba, we're going to say the Chiyav Kibbut goes to the children. Amuchayev to be Mechaba, the children of the Melech. They're not the Melech. So the Shaila is to be Mechaba the Melech once he's dead. So that din of Kibbut Ben Adam Machaver doesn't apply. It's just the din of Ben Adam Lamakim applies. And Ben Adam Lamakim is only if he was a religious Melech, a religious parent. So then the Rabbanu Shalom is proud of the partnership that he has with him. So these are the three that hold the Lo Chachamim. What are the three that lo hold the Lo Chachamim? Sasameh Hagichon ve lo hold the Lo. Why did he do Sasameh Hagichon? So Rashi says, Gichon is Shiloach, okay. He says, there's another river, Gichon. That's Hanor HaGolov, that's not Meretz Yisrael. From the four big rivers. That's a different Gichon. And this Gichon is the Shiloach. He says the Targum on the Pasuk, the Targum Yonisim and Ezeel on the Pasuk in Malachim. It says, Vaharat the Mosul Gichon translates Shiloach. So the reason why he did it was for security purposes, Rashi says. Loma Kadesh Aleyavah Malchi Ashur Imtsu Maim Lishtos. He did it for security purposes to prevent war from the enemy. So maybe it was a violation of an Isra Baltashchis, like you're not allowed to chop down trees, you're not allowed to stop up a river. Maybe it's Baltashchis, he's destroying the assets of the earth, but still Baltashchis is not mutter letzorach b'nei adam. For security purposes, not mutter. Then the second thing, kitzitz dal sahechol b'shigim al melech Ashur. He did it also for security purposes. You're not allowed to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. V'sasen ken l'Hashem alakechem, it says, how does it say in the previous pasuk? Benitastas mizbechos of Asher Rosh of Tishrei from Beis Lasas and Kehil Hashem. You're not allowed to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, but if you're destroying the Beis Hamikdash for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, Mistam it is mutter. So what's wrong over here? Asafik Pikuach Nefesh, Mistam is also mutter. He meant it l'shem Pikuach Nefesh. So Mistam v'lahod l'chachamim, they felt that was a little too much. That they should have been Moisa Nefesh, the soldiers should have been Moisa Nefesh more. Not to destroy Yerushalayim. You don't destroy Yerushalayim. You don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of Pikuach Nefesh.
The same for
Gichon? Yeah, Gichon was also. Gichon was servicing Yerushalayim. That was on the Rashi, says, Samach Yerushalayim. The Gemara says in Shavuos that during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim added on areas to Yerushalayim. And the din is Eima Sifan Alil Barazara Salal Tibes and Shal Shivma Yechad. If you want to add on to, if you want to create in the first place Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, a Kedushas Harabayis, a Kedushas Yerushalayim, this is Machne Shechin, and this is Machne Levi, and this is Machne Yisrael. If you want to create in the first place, it has to be V'chein Tasu. It says in the Pasuk in the beginning of Parshas Truma that Moshe Rabbeinu should make the Mishkan, then it says V'chein Tasu. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Shavuot, V'chein Tasu L'Doris. In all future generations, when you want to build a Beis HaMikdash, you want to make Kelim, it has to be everything the same way they did it originally. So just like originally when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, so he was a Sanhedrin and he was a Novi and had a Kohen Gadol, his brother was the Kohen Gadol, and they consulted Urim V'Tumim, and then they endowed that area with Kedushas Makam, Kedushas Machne Shechiah, Kedushas Machne Leviyah, Kedushas Machne Yisrael. So to the Doris, when you want to be Kavei HaMakam, Azorah, or Harabai, so Yerushalayim has to be Alpi Novi and Melech and Ur Metumim, etc., etc. So the Gemara says, then Bizman by Shena, they added on certain areas, and they didn't have all of the above. They didn't have, that's a machlekes in the Gemara, where they need Ba'achas Mikol Eilu Advarim, or Mikol Advarim. They need Melech, Novi, Ur Metumim, Sanhedrin, you need everything, or any one of them is good enough. So that's a machlokes amaroyim. When Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, the Urim Tum didn't function. It says in Tanakh, the Urim Tum didn't function then. So they didn't have Kol Advar. So how did they ever endow them by Sheni with Kedusha? So the Gemara says there are two answers. Either the answer is that Kitcha Lasi Lavai, the Makam HaMikdash retained the Kedusha from day number one, from the days that Shlomo HaMelech built it, so there was no need to be Mekadosh it anew. Or if you should assume that like Kitcha Lasi Lava at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, the Makam HaMikdash was Batla Kedusha Asai, that's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid had a Paskim La'alochen. The Ravid Paskim is a Machlekes HaTanoim, and a Machlekes HaMarayim, and a Machlekes HaRishayim, and every generation there was a Machlekes. It's unclear. So the Ravid Paskim is like that opinion that like Kitcha Lasi Lava at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, the Kedusha Mokam Harabayis and Kedushas Beis Hamikdash was Batlam. And the Rambam paskens that it was like Batlam. From day number one, Mishlam HaMelech built the Beis Hamikdash, and the Kedushas Hamikdash remain, and it's still present now. So the Gemara says there are one of two answers. Either the answer is that how did Ezra endow the Mokam HaMikdash with Kedusha? He didn't have an Urban Tumim. It wasn't functioning. The Pesukim say it didn't function in the beginning of the Baishen. It's not going to function till Moshiach comes. That's the expression that's used in Tanakh. Until we'll have a coin who'll be able to ask Urim and Tumim, and Rashi says Ad Yimos HaMashiach. The Urim and Tumim is not going to work till Yimos HaMashiach. So how did Ezra endow the location with Kedushas Harabais and Kedushas Azora? So either the answer is that Kitcha Losi Lava, he didn't have to endow it, he already had Kedusha from the days of Shlomo HaMelech. Or the answer is Ba'achas Mikol El Advarim. You don't need all the Kol Advarim. You don't need Urim and Tumim and Melech and Kohen Gadol and Sanhedrin. If you have one of the above, it's also good. So there was Sanhedrin and there was Kohen Gadol. There was no Jewish Melech for a few hundred years in the beginning of the Baishan. There was no Melech and there was no Urim and Tumim. So the other opinion of Gemara holds, you don't need Kol Advarim. You don't need Melech and Urim and Tumim and Kohen Gadol and Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin with Melech, Sanhedrin with Navi is an upset. They had Nevi'im, Gimel Nevi'im, Olo Imoim, Ibovo, Chag Zchar Malachi, and they had the Sanhedrin, and they had a Kohen Gadol. So they didn't have a Melech, and they didn't have Urim Tumim. You can live without those. So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. So the Gemara says in the second paragraph there in Shavuos that Bizman Baisheni, the government added on to Yerushalayim additional areas, but the Rabbanim were never Mekadosh that additional area. So the din was, strictly speaking, that it didn't have Kedushas Yerushalayim. You weren't allowed to eat Maisu Sheni there, and you weren't allowed to eat Kachim Kalam there either, in the additional area. So what do you mean they added on? What do you mean the government added on? So the Gemara says, the government declared, like today, the government declares that all the areas, Ramot, and what else, Gilo, and Male Adumim, everything has the same... it's all part of Yerushalayim. Everything is part of Yerushalayim. What did they accomplish by declaring everything is part of Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says they accomplished that the soldiers would be Moisa Nefesh more. If the enemy would come to attack the capital, so the soldiers would fight stronger. Al Pidin, nothing changed. Al Pidin, it didn't have the din of Yerushalayim. It was Chutzli Yerushalayim. But for political purposes, it was considered Yerushalayim. So that's apparently the Gemara here also. The Gemara says the Chachamim were unhappy with Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He went a little too far. That Kitzitz Dalsas Hahecha V'Shigrim LaMelech Ashur. That strictly speaking, the din is that you destroy the Beis Hamikdash to save the life of one Jew. Kof Nefesh is Dechav Kol HaTerukul. It's not from the Gimel Averus HaChamuris. Strictly speaking, Sasa Me Gichon. You're not allowed to be soisim water like a din of Baltashchis. Yeah, but Baltashchis L'tzorcha. Tzorch Bikuach Nefesh is certainly muta. You matter all these surim in the Torah for Bikuach Nefesh. Baltashchis is not different from the others. But still, since Megichon is Samach Yerushalayim, it services Yerushalayim, so he's destroying part of the capital, and to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, there should have been a limit how far you go with the Pikuach Nefesh. You want to give away Yerushalayim for the sake of peace. So there should be a limit how far you're allowed to go with Pikuach Nefesh. The soldiers should fight a little harder. If they fight a little harder, so they'll win the war. If they'll fight with Momesiris Nefesh, so they'll win the war.
By Shady Dance, when they added Yerushalayim, why doesn't the Gemara say that it did add Kedusha in those areas because they still had a Kohen Gadol?
The Gemara says that even according to the opinion that Ba'achas Mikolei Lutanan, that you don't need all, if you have a Kohen Gadol and you have a Sanhedrin, that's enough to endow it with Kedusha. But the Gemara says, on the added areas, they were never Mekadosh.
They just want.
They never had the ceremony.
And if they had done so, then it would be Mutati Kachin Kalabi?
Yeah, Mutati Kachin Kalabi.
Theoretically extend that to all the regions, to Hamot, and to all the regions that are Yerushalayim today, or further.
Yeah.
They chose not to.
So they never did this. You have to do a ceremony. You have to be Mekadosh B'shtei Toiras of Bishir. You have to bring special Kavanas to be Moisif Al Hoir. To endow Yerushalayim with Kedusha anew, you have to have the special Kavanas B'shtei Toiras of Bishir. Certain Pirkei Tehillim you have to recite. And to be Moisif Al Yerushalayim, you have to have more. The Braisa says there, it's a Tosefta that's quoted in Shavuos. The Tosefta says that the Ami Ha'aretz didn't know the Dinim. So they treated these areas that were added onto Yerushalayim, they treated them partially as if they had this on Tezayim. Tezayim HaMenalim. They treated it partially It's a Tosefta in Sanhedrin Perigimel that's quoted in Masech Shvuas after Zainam and Aleph. So it says the Yamei Haaretz, when Nichnasim L'Sham would go into these areas that were added onto Yerushalayim, they would eat Kochim Kalim, but they wouldn't eat Maaseh Sheni. What kind of Amaratzis was that? Why they ate Kochim Kalim? It's the same location where you eat Maaseh Sheni is where you eat Kochim Kalim. It's a Manav Shach. Why? So Rashi says the Yamei Haaretz had a whole shtickel Torah that you can eat. The areas that were added onto Yerushalayim have a din in Yerushalayim only been geared to the din kal of eating kachim kalim, but the din chomer of eating maaseh sheni, that needs a higher level of Yerushalayim. That was what the Yamei Haaretz told. You need a higher level of Yerushalayim. And the din is that it's not so. The din is that it didn't have the areas that they added onto Yerushalayim, the sections that were added on is maaseh sheni. Loines kachu klal. They chose never to be Mekadeshit. Even if you're Bachas, they simply were never Mekadeshit. And it didn't have the status of Yerushalayim, neither for the purpose of eating Maaseh Sheni, nor for the purpose of eating Kachim Kalim. The question is, this mistaken Havamina that the Yamei Haaretz had, does that have any validity at all? Does that play any role at all? That they held that for the purpose of eating Maaseh Sheni, you need a more Chomedik Adin of Yerushalayim than for the purpose of eating Kachim Kalim. If anything, it sounds the sechel should be the reverse. You should say just the hetach that the eat kachim kalim, that's karbonis. The eat maaseh sheni is a din kal. The eat kachim kalim should be a din chomer. So the question is, Damei Haaretz el faker, that the chelek hanosef on Yerushalayim, it was all wrong what they thought. Chelek hanosef has a din of Yerushalayim with respect to eating maaseh kachim kalim, but not with respect to eating maaseh sheni. So the question is there any validity to that svar at all? So the Mabit, in his Sefer on the Rambam, in this Kiryas Sefer, he thinks that there is validity. He says that it is true. But the Yamei Haaretz made a mistake. Their application was wrong, but it's true in a different area. As a wild idea. He claims that Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun and Eretz Yisrael all have the same status as Yerushalayim, that Mitzarayim HaMishtachim Chutz L'Sholosh Machnas. The Mitzar is not allowed to enter Yerushalayim, nor is he allowed to enter any of the Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim Yeshua Ben Nun. So many Rishonim say that it's not the same din. A Mitzor who enters Yerushalayim gets Malkus. Lo yovel tercha machne. Yerushalayim is called Machne Yisrael. A Mitzor who will enter into one of the Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim Yeshua Shemenum will not get Malkus. He'll be in violation of the essay. Yishalcha min HaMachne kol tzuro v'chol zot. It's an essay. It's a violation of an essay. A bitla mitzvah of the essay Yishalcha. But it's not a violation of Lo yovel tercha machne. Machne Yisrael is only Yerushalayim. Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim is not Machne Yisrael. And other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say, no, Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim have exactly the same din as Yerushalayim. So the Mabit and the Kiryas Sefer works on that premise. If you start off with a funny premise, then it leads you to all kinds of funny conclusions. So he asks, if that's true, that all Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim Yosef Yeshua Ben Nun have the status mamish like Yerushalayim, how come you can't eat Kochim Kalim and all Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim Yosef Yeshua Ben Nun? So he says, no, that's simple. Why? Because the Shechita has to be done on the Azara. You can't do the Shechita. Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim have the same status as Yerushalayim, but it doesn't have the same status as Azara. So the Shechita of all the Karbanah has to be in the Azara. So then what are you going to do? You're going to take it out and drive it by car? You're going to fly it by helicopter to the Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim? It'll be Nipsal B'Yotzei. Once it's Nipsal B'Yotzei, so it doesn't help if you bring it back into the Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim. You're not allowed to eat it. Then he has to cut. Okay, not bad. Then so Rabbi Nachum Zema has a kasha on that too. He said that's not 100% oisgehalt. There are cases where you can take the behemah out of Yerushalayim and it won't be nifsal b'yotz. Okay, leave out the fancy kasha that he has. So then the Mabit asks on himself, but by Maaseh Sheni there is no psul yotzei. What's the din? If we say that all Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim Yosef Yeshua Ben Nun have the same status as Yerushalayim, so you should be able to eat Maaseh Sheni and all Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim. Never heard of that. Mishnah, you say you have to eat Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. So he says, no, that's a different din. The Yamei Haaretz knew the truth, that in order to be able to eat Maaseh Sheni, you have to have a higher level of Yerushalayim than in order to be able to eat Kachim Kam. Kachim Kam, theoretically, you should be able to eat in all Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim, and the reason why you can't do it, because Nifsal B'Yotzei. But Maaseh Sheni, no, you got to have the real McCoy, the real Yerushalayim. Ayoras HaMakofas Chomim, that's not enough. So he thinks that Mabit and the Sefer, Kiryas Sefer, and the Rambam, he thinks that this svara of the Yamei Haaretz that Rashi develops over here is a correct svara halacha l'maaseh, just that it's misplaced. Over here, the Yamei Haaretz applied the svara in a bad case, in an incorrect case. But the pashtus is not like the mabit. The whole thing not like the mabit. The pashtus is that the amehoritz were amehoritz through and through. Everything they said was wrong. And there is no such thing that you need more kedushas Yerushalayim for the purpose of eating ma'aseh sheni than you need for the purpose of eating kashim kalim. The pashtus is that it's not so.
Why are they wrong for the mabit? Why wouldn't the mabit just say they're right? For the mabit, why shouldn't they be right? After all, the area outside the status of...
No, but they were never mekadoshim. The Gemara says, the Sefta said, the Chachamim chose never to be mekadoshim. They could have theoretically been mekadoshim, but he said they were never mekadoshim.
But if they'd been mekadoshim, you could have eaten both, no?
Right. The Halacha said, if they would have been mekadoshim, you can eat both. Ma'aseh sheni and kol shekhan. They were not mekadoshim, so you can't eat either. So the Amah Haaretz thought the wrong compromise. He thought that it has kiddusha, it's an extension of Yerushalayim. You don't need an act of kiddush, but extensions of Yerushalayim are only relevant when you get to eating kachim kalam and doesn't help when you get to eating ma'aseh sheni. When you get to eat ma'aseh sheni, you have to have Yerushalayim mamash. The extensions don't help. So that's the shaila. Is there any validity to that svara that the makom to eat ma'aseh sheni has to be more chomer than the makom to eat kachim kalam? So the pashtus is not like the mabit. The pashtus is the reverse. The ritva says the reverse from the mabit. That Yerushalayim that's needed for the purpose of eating kachim kalam is more chomer, has to be more Yerushalayim, more kedushas Yerushalayim than Yerushalayim for the purpose of eating ma'aseh sheni. Anyway, so that's over here. The Brisa quotes this story that Chizkiyahu HaMelech thought that it's a safik bikoach nefesh. He's going to give away gates of the Beis HaMikdash to appease the enemy. He's going to soysem the gichon in order to prevent the enemy soldiers from having any water. And it's for the sake of safik bikoach nefesh. We know safik bikoach nefesh is lecha kol ha'tera kula. Yeah. But which country does that? The United States would give away Washington, D.C. to the enemy. They'll give it away to Iran in order to make them happy. In order that they should stop fighting the war. Doesn't make sense. You don't give away the capital. There are certain things that you just don't do. So that's why the Gemara says, V'lohodo lo chachamim. The chachamim said that it's not right. A lot of pikoch nefesh, the dinam of pikoch nefesh adecha, depends on sofik pikoch nefesh, depends on what your sense is. Are you concerned about this or not? What's your feeling? Do you think that this may taka save your life? Or you think that it's utterly ridiculous? It's not going to save your life. So it is. Most normal people would say, who ever heard of such a thing? Well, you don't give away the capital. You don't give away the Beis HaMikdash. There's a limit. It's not unreasonable to give away the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. Certainly for the sake of Sofi Pikuach Nefesh.
So was something because Nefesh a good reason not to build the Beis HaMikdash then?
I don't know. It's a good question. That's a good question. But once you have a Beis HaMikdash, to chop down Kitzis Dalsa Ha'echol and to send it to the enemy to appease him and to be Seisim the Gichon, in other words, to destroy part of Yerushalayim, so that the Gemara says, that's not right. What was the third thing that Lahodolo? Iber Nisim Benisim. It made a Shanamu Beres. Every couple of years you have to have a Shanamu Beres. You want to have that Pesach shouldn't be floating. There's 11 days difference between the solar year and the lunar year. The solar year is 365 days, the lunar year is 354 days. So if you're not going to make a Shanamu Beres every couple of years, so you're going to have Pesach is going to be sometimes in the winter time, sometimes in the springtime, fall, summer. You're going to keep on moving every year. It's going to be 11 days earlier. Keep on shifting around. So the Chumash says it has to be Chodesh Aviv. Pesach has to be in the springtime. And Sukkot has to be B'chag HaAsif. So in order to maintain that the solar year and the lunar year should correspond, so every so often you have to make a Shana Muberis. So when you make a Shana Muberis, you declare Shana Zutehe Muberis. When do you declare it? The year begins with Chodesh Nisan is the Chodesh Arishon. So you have to declare sometime during the course of the year, after Nisan, you have to declare Shana Zutehe Muberis. If it's already Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the next year, Rosh Chodesh Nisan entered, and then we say, we hereby declare that this is Adar Sheni, and last year, the year that just ended, yesterday was Rosh Chodesh, the year that just ended yesterday was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, should hereby be declared as a Shana Muberes. So you can't declare ex post facto if the new year already began. So that's what he did. Iba Nisan ben Nisan. He declared last year was a Shana Muberes after Rosh Chodesh Nisan already entered, v'lohod ala chachamim. And then the pasuk continues the same day Rayamim that he got everybody. He was the Rosh HaMemshalah. He was the Melech. He was the king. He got everybody to bring the Korban Pesach a month late. They were supposed to bring it a month earlier because his Shadamu Beres was incorrect. It wasn't the other Sheni. It was really Nissen. And it says they brought the Korban Pesach Shaloi Kakosuv, not in accordance with the Halachim. He didn't listen to the Chacham. So the Gemara says, Lahodolo, they were upset. I guess by the end of the year, they straightened it out. At some point, he gave in. But it was by the time he gave in, it was already too late. They had brought the Korban Pesach a month late. It was supposed to bring it in that month. They brought it the month after. So the Gemara says, isn't that ridiculous? He made such an error. We assume Chizkiyahu was a Talmid Chacham. We consider his opinions on things. This is Tama mistake. Once Rosh Chodesh Nisan enters, so that year is over already. So it's already Chodesh HaRishon of the next year. How can he declare during Nisan that last year should be a Shana Mubaris and this month is now declared ex post facto as Odo Sheni? That's ridiculous. And for the Gemara, no, it was a Dakis Dika mistake. Not such a grubber mistake. Not such a gross error. Elatobid Shmuel. Shmuel says that the month of Adar, you have Shvat Adar. So Adar can have 29 days. Any given month can either have 29 days or 30 days. So let's say the month of Adar can either have 29 or 30 days. So if you'll declare the beginning of Adar, Shana Nuzutayim Uberes. Fine. So this will turn out to be Adar Rishon, and next month will be Adar Sheni. You can declare on the 20th of Adar, you can declare on the 28th of Adar, Shana Nuzutayim Uberes. And since the year didn't end yet, so it'll be a Shana Mubaris. What if it's the 30th day of Adar? You didn't declare it as Rosh Chodesh. You didn't yet declare. If you already declared on the 30th of Adar, we hereby declare today as Rosh Chodesh. So if you don't say one way or the other, it becomes Rosh Chodesh Nissen. It becomes Rosh Chodesh Nissen as the Chodesh HaRishon. Then they're going to wake up an hour later and they're going to say, we hereby declare that last year that just ended a month ago, an hour ago, that today is Rosh Chodesh. So we hereby declare that the previous year that just ended should be a Shana Mubaris. So that's Lamafreya. You can't make Ibra Shana Lamafreya. But Rabbi Elimar says, you're not making Lamafreya. On the 30th day of Adar, Adar can have 29 days or 30 days. So the Bezin is going to declare on the 30th of Adar, Shana Zutehe Mubaris. So what's so bad? So this year Adar will have 30 days. That's not so bad. So Shmuel says, no, L'chatchili, you're not allowed to do that. Eimer Abram Sashana B'yam Shloshim Shal Adar. Why? Theoretically, they could have made this Adar into a month of 29 days. And the 30th day would have been the first day of Chodesh Nisan. So the 30th day of Adar is really not muhrach that it has to be Adar. It's like an appendage to the year. It's not an integral part of the year. The year could have ended yesterday on the 29th of Adar. The year has to have 12 months, a minimum of 12 months. 12th month can't have less than 29 days. It could have 30 days, but the 30th day could have really theoretically been Nisan. So that's what Shmuel says. Yeah. So he made a mistake. Sabar. You don't say like that. Yeah. What's the din b'di'evan? What's the din b'di'evan? It says in the psukim that he brought. It says in the psukim d'irayomim that he brought the Korban Pesach. Shaloi kakosuv. Here, Rashi quotes in the psukim. Vayivoyetz haMelech la'asa Pesach b'chodesh Hasheni. He told everybody to postpone Havroas Korban Pesach. He declared this is Adar Sheni, and we're going to bring the Korban Pesach next month. And now v'shaloi kakosuv. What v'shaloi kakosuv? Shmuel's din is only lechatchila. What does it say there in Sanhedrin? Daf Yud Beis on the days. I think we paskin that Shmuel's din is only lechatchila. It's not miyake b'diyev. So that can't be the accepted pshat in the story of Divrei HaYomim, because there it says Shaloi Kakosuv. It was in Gansen wrong. It wasn't. If it's only lechatchila, but for the Yevid, what happens if Ibru Hamai? Ibru Amai, what's the din if they did declare it? So the Gemara says it remains Shana Mubaris, Ein Kachan Es Achedish. Let them not declare that day as Rosh Chodesh. if they'll declare, let's say 9 o'clock in the morning on the 30th of Adar, they'll declare Shana Zuteimu Beres. Okay? So there'll be an Adar Sheni, but then they're going to declare at 10 o'clock in the morning, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, a few hours later, they'll declare that today should be Rosh Chodesh. If they say 1 o'clock in the afternoon, today is Rosh Chodesh, it'll be a glory Muslim affair. It became Rosh Chodesh starting from last night. It doesn't become Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the day. We treat the whole day as one unit. And if you say the last minute in the day before the Shkia, today is Rosh Chodesh, the whole day, how can you be Mekadosh Lamafreya? It's not Mekadosh Lamafreya. Treat the whole day as one unit. We declare the whole unit of the day is declared as Rosh Chodesh. It'll be a Gloy Milsal Lamafreya. It already was Rosh Chodesh before the Bezdin made the declaration of Shana Zuteimu Beres. So that for sure is no good. So the Gemara says, Shmuel's din is a din lechatchila ema arba misal shana mem shloish mishal ador. Ibru amai, so the Gemara says, if they went ahead and din, ema kachan is lechodesh. They should not be mekadosh that day as Rosh Chodesh. What if kitshuhu mai? What if they did declare, they went ahead on the same day? First they declared shana muberes at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they declared today should be Rosh Chodesh. So Rabbi says, batlo ha'ibur. Why? Because now it's a gloy muslim afreya that it became Rosh Chodesh as of last night. And then it comes out that the Bezin was Ma'abris Hashana after Ador ended already. So that for sure is no good. We don't even paskin like that. We paskin like Rav Nachman Amun Be'uber Umekudosh. We paskin that if on the 30th of Ador, if the Bezin declared Shana Mu'ber, Lechatchila, they shouldn't declare the day of Shana Mu'beris. If they're going to declare Shana Mu'beris, it's Roy Lekova Nisim. You have to declare the Shana Mu'beres when you're still in the middle of the Shana Mu'beres. Not the last day that could have theoretically not been part of that year. You could have had Ador with 29 days. You didn't have to have 30 days. So we pass like Rav Nachman. It's Mu'uber or Mekudosh. So if you hold the Be'ebit, it's Mu'uber or Mekudosh. How do you understand Pshat and the whole story in Divrei Yomim? It says it was terrible. They brought the Korban Pesach. Shaloi Kakosuf. Why is it Shaloi Kakosuf? Be'ebit is good. L'chatchili, he violated Shmuel's din. But for the Eved, it's good. So that's a big problem. What was going on by Pesach Chizkiyahu?
What's Mu'uber Mekudosh?
The year is Mu'uberes, and the Rosh Chodesh is Chal, and it's okay. Even though Rosh Chodesh is Chal Mila Mafresh, it'll be Rosh Chodesh Ad Sheni. If they would have first declared today is Rosh Chodesh,
then you can't be
Marbes Hashana later. But first they declared it should be Shana Mu'beres, which they shouldn't have done L'chatchila. But they declared for Hashana Zutei Mu'beres, so it is Mu'beres. And then even though later in the afternoon when they declare Hayom Kodesh B'Kedusha as Rosh Chodesh, it becomes Rosh Chodesh Mula Mafreya, so you don't say, hey, what did they do? They can't be Ma'abed Hashana on after Ador Rishon is over already. So we don't say like that. I don't know why, but we don't say like that. It's a question, why not? Rabbi should be right. We should say Bat Lahoiper. You should say it should become Rosh Chodesh Mila Mafreh. But the Rambam paskins like Rav Nachman. So that's a shaila. If you paskin like Rav Nachman, then it's Mu'uber and Mekudosh. So what was the whole tragedy? The psukim say it was terrible. They brought the Korban Pesach Shaloi Kedin. Shaloi Kedin was Lachatchila, but the Yevit is good. That's called, they bring in the Pesach Shaloi Kakosuv. That's a problem. That's a problem. What was the story with the Pesach Chizkiyahu that it was considered Shaloi Kedin? Then the Gemara says when a person davens, he should always ask not in his own schusim. The Gemara talks about Nehemiah. There are 24 svarim in the Tanakh. The Christians have more than 24 svarim in the Old Testament in the Tanakh. Because they made Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, Melachim Aleph, Melachim Beis. They made it into four different books. So Bayas Shmuel is one sefer, Melachim is one divrei yomim is one sefer. It's not two svarim. And then we also have Ezra Nehemiah is one sefer. The Gemara says it's not two svarim. And the Gemara Sanhedrin has a comment. Why is the sefer Nehemiah not nikra al shmo? Why did Nehemiah deserve that the sefer should be called sefer Nehemiah? So the Gemara gives a reason because it's always machzik toivu liatzmo. In the sefer Nehemiah, they quote the tefillahs that he offered to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he keeps on saying, Zochor li alakai l'toivo. The Ribbono Shel Olam should farechen for me as a schus that I did this and I did that. And he's always bragging to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I did so many mitzvahs and mice and toivim, you have to give me my request. You have to grant my request in the schus of all the things that I did. So the Gemara says, because in Machzik Toivo Liatzma, that's why the Chachamim, who introduced Nechemi into the Kisra HaKadosh, decided that it's part of Sefer Ezra. It's not going to be a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. The Chidor lived in the 1700s. The Chidor was a mishulah for yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and they traveled all over Europe to raise money for the yeshiva. So the Chidor quotes from some Achrayim before his time that we know now in the Bibles that the Christians print that Nehemiah is a separate book. Ezra and Nehemiah are two different books. So he takes it as if it's a Torah Slokshin. He takes it as if it's really legitimate. Ezra is a separate book, Nehemiah is a separate book. So how come it all of a sudden became a separate book? The Pashtus is, how did Shmuel Beis become a separate book? The Christians made it. We don't recognize that. We don't recognize Malachim Beis as a separate book, and we don't recognize Devarayamim Beis as a separate book either. Devarayamim is one sefer. So Ezra Nehemiah is one sefer also. So he quotes Achayim who assume that now there are 25 Svarim in the Kisra. Ezra Nehemiah count as two. Shmuel Beis doesn't count separately, and Malachim Beis doesn't count separately, and Devarayamim Beis doesn't count. Ezra Nehemiah count separately. Ma pitom. So he quotes Achayim and asks the question, why? But the Gemara gives a whole explanation why it's not supposed to be a separate sefer. So he says, Nehemiah already suffered enough. He's already suffered enough all these centuries that we didn't call the sefer al Shmo. So he already got his atonement. So now we can call the sefer al Shmo. Mi'or makach. Who the Christians decided. The Christians who printed the Bible, they decided that he suffered enough. Very strange.
The Pashtus. Was he aware that it came from the Christians?
I don't know. No, I don't think so. Clearly it did come from the Christians. It didn't come from the Jews. And he quotes one of the Achrayim who thought that it came from the Jews. The Pashtus says it didn't come from us. What is the Nafkamina? That's a good question. Nafkamina should really be how many lines you should have between Ezra and Nehemiah. Should you have in between?
You have a stuma between them.
A stuma. But if it's a separate sefer, then you should have a couple of lines in between.
Asur to write is a separate sefer. It's Asur
to write. Asur to write, yeah, not allowed to. So their writing is supposed to be a separate sefer. How many lines do we have between Bereshis and Shmos and Shmos and Vayikra? There we have four lines. What if you have Ishai, Yemi, Echeskel, Treyasa, all in the same? So it's not four.
We have three between Treyasa, I think. Three between Treyasa.
Each one of the Treyasa. What about Ishai, Yemi? I've got to look in the
Gemara. Four, but it's a machlokas, but I've usually seen four.
So that's the Shaila between Ezra and Nehemiah. Should you have four lines? Should you not have four lines? So the Pashto says, of course not. It's one sefer. It's a Hemshah one sefer. He quotes some Achrayim and think, no, now it became too swan. He already suffered enough. Upgekumen. So that's what the Gemara talks over here, that Chizkiyo HaMelech, when he was offering his tefillos, was also asking, Ay, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, you should have Rachmanes on me, because all of the good mitzvahs and ma'asim, Scholi Asher Salachti Lefanecho, you should remember that I did all the mitzvahs in my time. That's exactly what Nehemiah was punished for speaking like that. He keeps on. It's a recurrent phrase that appears many times in Nehemiah. Zachor le'elakai le'tavis. Hidik Gemar quotes that Chizkiyahu HaMelech spoke like that. And the Rabbanu Shalom, when he answered his prayers, he said, he's answering not in his chus. Not because of your chus. When a person davens, he should never say that the Rabban Shalom should answer his prayers in the schus of all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim that he does. That's the Gemara calls that iun tefillah. The Gemara also calls it. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, "There are shlosha dvar maskirim avinayosav shalodam." So one of them is iun tefillah. So they said iun tefillah. That's a maila. The person pays attention. He davens slowly. He pays attention when he davens. I met somebody yesterday. I was in Baltimore. Said the fellow told me about his father. His father davened Shmoneh Esrei 25 minutes. Takes him to say, so I said, oh, you mean our Rosh Hashanah Musaf? He says, no, every day, three times a day. It takes his father 25 minutes. That Iyun Tefillah he pays. So that's a maila. To daven slowly, to have Kavanas Pirush Milas, a maila. So what does the Gemara say? Iyun Tefillah is a chisaron. So Tosis explains, Iyun Tefillah, that you pay attention to the words, that's a maila. Iyun Tefillah, I rely on the Tefillah that God has to answer my prayers because I deserve that my prayers should be answered because of all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. That's what Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, and that's what Nehemiah said. So the Gemara said that's not proper. Then the Rebbeinu Shalom bopped him over the head, and he told him, well, what's the pasuk? Hinei l'shalom mar li'mar. Afilu b'shal shishig l'kadosh baruch hu shalom. Rebbeinu Shalom told him that the Yerushalayim is not going to be destroyed by the enemy. But it was in a very bitter way. Rebbeinu Shalom bopped him over the head, and he said, never say that again, that in my schus. you should protect the city. The Gonasi Leazaz, Abu David Abdi, Laman David Abdi, not in Yuzuchus. Then, because the Gemara mentioned a little bit about Chizkiyahu's tefillah that he had 15 years were added onto his life, even though Cherb Chad Menachas al Savor Shalodom, he should not be Nimna Atzma Menarach, he should always be Mispalo, maybe the Gzera will be broken. So he was mispalel, so he said, in the schus of my grandfather, my great-grandfather Shlomo HaMelech, that he built the whole Beis HaMikdash, so give me a refuah, just like the baby had a Tchias HaMesim in the days of Elisha, baby had a Tchias HaMesim in the schus that the parents made Aliyah's Kirktan. So now the Gemara goes into a bit of a discussion of the story with Elisha. Elisha used to go visit by people and he used to eat by them. He accepted their offer of Hachnas HaSarchim. The Gemara says that Shmuel HaNavi always brought his own sandwiches along. He never wanted to agree to eat by anybody. The Gemara doesn't say, but it's because of the kashrus reasons. Not that he didn't trust him on the kashrus. Apparently there was no issue of kashrus. Shmuel HaRamasi, as a matter of policy, he didn't want to be nenef in the Balabatim. He didn't want to make a chil Hashem. The people will say, the rabbi is just looking for a free meal. Like they indicted the chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael that he went to a hotel for Pesach and he didn't pay the bills. If it's true, it's a chil Hashem. A rabbi shouldn't use his influence over other people to get matanis. So what's the story with Elisha? So the Gemara says, Naharot elihanas yehane kelisha. If you want to be nenef, balabatim invite you to eat in their homes, that's okay if you're like Elisha. Rotzeh shelo lihanas al yehanek kishmul haramasi. Why is a rotzeh lihanas kelisha yehane? So I saw the Ben Yehoyada, or the Ben Ayahu, I forgot which month, either the first sefer or the second sefer on brachas. He has two sefer on brachas. So he refers you to the Gemara in famous Gemara in Kiddushin, that by Kiddush Isha, by Kesef, you have to have Nasan Hu, V'yamahu, the Chasan has to say Hariyat Mekudesh, then he has to give a ring, he has to give Kesef to the girl. What if the girl gives him a ring and he says Hariyat Mekudesh? That's no good, you have to have Nasan Hu, he has to give her the Kesef. What happens if he's an Adam Chashuv and the girl is so tickled pink that he accepted her gift, and he says in advance, Hariyat Mekudesh Esli, Bahanua Zu, Shani, So then the Gemara says, if an Adam Chashuv accepts a gift from another person, so the other person is considered getting Hana. It's considered as if the Adam Chashuv did the Nesina, and the other person is Mekabel the Kesem. So the Gemara says it's good to be Mekadosh and Isha. So that's what it says, the Ben Ishchai writes, that that's the Pshat there. Harot Elihanas Yehanek Elisha. If he's such an Adam Chashuv like Elisha, that his accepting to eat by them is a kavod for them. So it's as if he's giving them a matanah. He's giving them a gift by virtue of the fact that he consents to eat by them. They're going to brag, they're going to tell all the friends that they're so friendly with this rabbi that he eats by them every so often. So it's considered as if he's mahana them. So he's not using his authority in an improper fashion. He's not abusing his position by getting matanah. He didn't ask for the matanah, adran. He's giving them a matanah.
Then why
should one
be like Shmuel?
Shmuel was machmer. He didn't want that anyone should feel obligated. So it's an issue of sani matanis yichya. So Elisha felt it's nishkan sani matanis. I'm giving them a matan. And Shmuel was always machmer. He's afraid that maybe they'll feel obligated. Sometimes Talmid Chacham comes to the city, and the person would really prefer not to be machnis the Talmid Chacham to his home. But he feels obligated. He's the local Orthodox rabbi. He's the most choshev of balabas with the nicest apartment. So he feels obligated. He really didn't want it. So that's what Shmuel was always machmeh. He didn't want it. And Elisha felt that he doesn't have to be machmeh. He's not being nana from them. It's not a steini matanis yichya. The rabbi is giving them a matana. Sometimes you have a problem of kashrus though. Some rabbis have a policy they don't eat by any balabatim because some of the balabatim you can't eat by them, so some of the others you can eat. So you're going to have discrimination, it's going to be problematic. And then the Isha Shunamis tells the husband, this Elisha Hanavi, he's a very holy man. Isha Lakim Kodeshu, how does she know he was Kodesh? So the Gemara gives all the different suggestions. Oyver Aleinu Tamid, he always passes our home, and they gave him an apartment to stay in. That's what they tell a story that one. I think the Chido has this story. When the Chido was traveling around Europe, so I think he met the Chassam Sofer was a young boy learning in the yeshiva, something like that. And he always used to come late to the minyan. He always came after Aleinu. So he said, Ish Kadosh Avir Aleinu Tam, and he comes after Aleinu. Something like that. But he recognized that he, as a young child, he recognized that he was a big tzad. There's a fellow here in the neighborhood who always comes to shul after Aleinu on Shabbos. I told him he's a very holy man. Ish Kadosh Avir Aleinu Tam, so he likes that line. Yeah. I think they said it about the Chassam Seif. Ish Kadosh Avir Aleinu Tam. He always passes, he always comes after Aleinu. Then the Gemara says a person should not daven agabi makam gavaya. He should rather daven mi mamakim kurasicha Hashem. What's considered makam gavaya? He's going to stand agabi kisa. He's going to stand agabi shrafrav, a footstool. Agabi makam gavaya. Yeah, if you have the bima, and the bima is a big thing of dala tvachim al dala tvachim, so that's a new ground level. So that's not called agabi makam gavaya. The chazan can stand on top of the bima. But if the bima is very tiny, less than dala is very tiny. If it's less than dala, then it says it's not proper. Then it's called a makam gavoy. If it's more than dala, so it's a makam bifnei atzma, it's considered a new ground level. Then it's okay. Gemara has the lashon yorid lifnei ateva, right? So that's why in many communities in Europe they used to have they carved down maral shul, they had it like that. A lower location, so the chazan stands mamish mimamakim in a lower location. The Gemara has a din when you say Shemon Esri, you have to have your feet together, because it says the description of the angel in Sefer Yecheskel says v'raglehem regel yishor, the two legs were together. So this is the Rabbi Yoni quotes one opinion is that the two feet should not be one next to each other, but rather V-shaped. Why? V'raglein kikaf egel. The pasuk describes the feet of the angels were kikaf egel. An egel is a kosher animal, so it has mafris parsa. So in order to demonstrate v'raglein kikaf egel, so there were those who insisted that you have to daven with your feet not together, one parallel to the other, touching, but rather V-shaped. So Rabbi Yonah says that's not the accepted opinion. That's not correct. A lot of people daven like that. You should tell them, Rabbi Yonah says it's not right. You're supposed to stand with your two feet together. Raglam regal yishor, should look like one regal. Then he quotes, Rabbi Yoni quotes, the Yerushalmi has another opinion. One opinion is, yes, you have your feet together. Dumya de malachim, that the malachim's legs are together, regal yishor. Then the other opinion should be dumya de kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. And when the kohanim would walk in the Beis HaMikdash, they wouldn't take wide steps. How does the said pasuk say? When the salah b'manas al mizbech hashelo sigolei arvascha olav. If you climb up steps, so then it's going to be gili erva. What kind of gili erva? The kohanim are wearing trousers. There is no gili erva. It looks a little bit. It's a little bit a violation of sensitivity of the mizbech. It doesn't look nice. So even when the kohanim were not climbing up any steps, so there was a ramp in order to go up to the mizbech, as opposed to milas, as opposed to steps. But then the Gemara says because of that concern. So we don't permit the Kohanim to take wide steps in the Beis HaMikdash, even though they're all wearing clothing. Still, it's a pechinah v'lo sigol erbaschal. So how wide a step could they take? So the Yerushalmi says they had eke b'tzad gudl. When they would put forward one leg, so the heel of the leg that they're putting forward would be parallel to the big toe. Eke b'tzad good love the other leg. In other words, they wouldn't stretch their feet at all. They would be baby steps. Namish baby steps. So that's the other opinion in the Rishalmi. When you daven Shemana Esrei, you should stand, since the tefillah is b'makam ha'krobas ha'karbonis, when the Kohanim were makra karbonis, they would only walk eke b'tzad gudl. So we should stand with our feet together, not together together, but rather eke b'tzad gudl. So that's not the accepted opinion. The accepted opinion is the way it says in the Bavli that it should be dumi de malachim raglem regal yishar.
Is there a first
thing
like that
in
the
makir
only when they walk?
Makir,
they stood the
ankle beside
the
head. When they had a walk, they would walk
ankle beside the head. Makir, the kabbalists, they stood
back. Okay, but they wouldn't be stretching their legs apart. That's the maximum that they ever spread their legs, that it shouldn't be a violation of the spirit of the law, not the letter law, the spirit of the law of Lo Yisigolei Arvascha Olav, that they never stretched their legs too much when they were walking in the Beis HaMikdash.
What about the Mishnah Yomah, which has the pines when they would run up?
I don't know. Maybe they ran out of Pekah B'tzad Gudel. I don't know. Got to look in the Yerushalmi there. Maybe they discuss it there. I don't know.
Is this din of one foot next to each other only for Shemona Esrei or for Kaddish?
I mean, when the person says Kaddish, yeah. The meaning is that you stand with your feet together. I don't know. Got to look in Shulchan Aruch. What's the source? Yeah, the Gemara is only going on Tefillah on the Shemona Esrei. Well, it's not going on Kaddish. You have to look in Shulchan Aruch. Where does that come from? I don't know. I don't know. The Rambam writes that when we daven, we're supposed to have the kavana ka'emid lefnei hashchina. So the Rambam writes, we have to imagine as if we're in heaven, b'shamayim, in front of the shchina. So mistama, the angels are in heaven. The people in heaven, the individuals in heaven, are mistama all angels. I don't know. Then the Gemara quotes a comment on the pasuk lo sochlo al adam. So the Gemara gives an interpretation, lo sochlo, you're not allowed to eat al adam. Koidim she tispalalu al dimchem. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a different tanoim, give different comments on that pasuk, lo sochlo al adam, different levels of interpretation on the pasuk. And the Gemara refers to that pasuk with the title, that's alav shebechlolis. And alav shebechlolis is ein loikim olav, you don't get malchus. What is included in that pasuk? But the Gemara says, lo sochlo al adam is the law for ben sor emor. It says in the Chumash that ben sor emor gets a punishment of oinish misa. So oinish amayna azar minayim. We have a rule, oinish amayna kem asir. You can't give an oinish aguf of misa malchus unless the person violated some azar, some by sesay. So where is the law for ben sor emor? He violated kibbut aviyen. But it has to be a law, that's not just for an essay. Azara says, you don't give an oinish aguf of malchus amisa because the person violated an essay. So the Gemara says, l'soch l'al adam, l'soch l'achila ha-mevi'a l'idei dam. You're not allowed to eat in such a way that you may develop to become a gangster, to become a murderer, to kill other people. Different interpretations in the Rishonim. How does this pasuk come, achila ha-mevi'a l'idei dam, how does it lead up to, how does it imply ben sarma? It means, achila ha-mevi'a l'idei dam, don't eat in such a way that it may lead to you losing your life, the Bez may give you misa. You may develop to become a gangster and you may kill other people. So you may become a murderer to kill other people. So those are two shades of interpretation. How does the Gemara get the pasuk to imply? Who's dam? His own dam or the dam of other people? Then the Gemara says another level of interpretation in the pasuk. If you shech the behemoth and the behemoth is still jumping around, it's a goses, he's jumping around. Kodim shetetzin nafsho, so the Gemara says you shouldn't eat it. And I learn about behemoth kodim shetetzin nafsho shehibaloi says it tamalam alasoch la ladam. Kozman the behemoth is still jumping around. Shaila, is that an isa deraisa? Is that only midrabban? Once he did the shechita, so the Gemara says strictly speaking, the misnui is ev manachai. So on the side of the Gemara, they quote a Rashi and Chulin and says that this one is only an asmachta. To eat from the behemoth kodim shetet zanapsha is only an asmachta. Then the Gemara has another level of interpretation. This is a din deraisa. If you shech the carbon and you were mekabel a dam in the klisharis and you were not yet zarek the dam, l'sochlo basav adayin dam b'mizra, l'sochlo al hadam. You're not allowed to eat b'sar kodshim. The Kohanim are not permitted to eat the chatas and the yoshim, and the Israelim are not permitted to eat the shlomim and the Korban Pesach and so on, the Kochim Kalim, if the Dam is Adayim Mizuk, that's an Issa Deraisa. Then the Gemara has a din, Losoch Lal Adam, Ein Mavrin Al Haruge Bezin. If Bezin puts someone to death, so the Mishnah says that the relatives are not permitted to observe Avelos. In Eretz Yisrael, when they killed the assassin, the one who killed the boys in the yeshiva, so the family observed the mourning period. In Jordan, they had in the papers, they didn't allow the family, they didn't allow the relatives of the assassin, of the murderer, to observe any mourning, because he killed the civilians. And in Eretz Yisrael, the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael allowed the relatives to observe Avelos. That's against the din. The din is Haruge Bezin. A man was Baal Eishes Ish, Beratzen. He didn't murder anyone. A man was Baal Eishes Ish. He did an aver for which he deserves an Oinash Misa. Mechal Shabbos deserves an Oinash Misa. So the relatives are not permitted to observe Avelos. The Mishnah quotes the pasuk, Davar Rishon Rina. When a Rasha is put to death by the Bezdin, you have to celebrate. So tell the relatives to celebrate this high, but you have to tell them they're not allowed to observe Avelis. So usually part of Avelis is that the Suda Rishayna is the Suda Savra. The Avelim are not permitted to eat also Ovel, also Lecho, Mishal Atzma. Also Lecho, Mishalo. Someone else has to give them the first meal on the first day of Shiva. Someone else has to give the meal. So Haruge Bezdin, there is no Din of Avra. Minan She'ein Mavrim and Haruge Bezdin, Tamalo, Lasoch Lo Ladam. The Gemara has another din. Sanhedrin Shahar Sanefesh. The Sanhedrin put someone to death that day. So if they put him to death at 9 o'clock in the morning, bright and early, so the Gemara says the Sanhedrin is not allowed to eat all day long. Losoch la ladam. In order to enable the Sanhedrin, if a case should come up, the Gemara says once every 70 years, if a case of dina nefashos came up, it would be considered a bezin katlanis. In a case it ever comes up that a Sanhedrin does have to put someone to death, so the Gemara says you let the Bezdin eat in the daytime and then you give them the Einish Misa Bezdin late in the afternoon. So they only have to observe L'Sech Lal Adam, the last couple of hours of the day. Why should the Bezdin have to fast the whole day? You're going to put him to death bright and early in the morning, so they have to fast the whole day. So the Gemara has all these levels of interpretation. Ben Sora Morez L'Sech Lal Adam, with the two shades of interpretation. Achila Hamibili Deidam means he may turn out to be a gangster, may develop to become a gangster, to be molested mizabrius, al asoch la'achila ha'mevila de'edam, it will cause you to lose your life. So that's a din de'araisa. The Rambam writes that that's the pshut shel mikra, that's the ikalav. According to the Torah shebichsav, that's the ikalav. And the rest is all additional levels of interpretation that the Torah shebaal peh is giving to the psukim. It's the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvah says like that. That alav shebichlolois, and loikim all of means, and the additional levels of interpretation that the Torah Shabbat Peh adds on to the Pshut Lishon Mikra. But whatever is Pshut Lishon Mikra, that's the Ikalav, then that you are loikim. So the Rambam says the fact that a Ben Zorah Mora, Achila Rishayna, the Ben Zorah Mora gets Malkas, Achila Shnia, he gets Nisa. That's Mishnah is like that. It says in the Chumash, V'Yisro also. V'Yisro also means Malkas. And then the second time he doesn't listen to the parents. And then Ishamea Bikoileno, even the second time, then he gets an Oynish Misa. So the Rambam writes, the first time he violates it, he gets Malkas. The Rambam writes, it's a regular Malkas because he violated the law of Losof Laladam. Rashi writes, not like the Rambam. Rashi writes that even the Malkas, the Pam Rishayna, the Achila Rishayna, is a new kind of Malkas. It's not the regular din of Dumi Dalab the Hasima. It's a special din of Malkas based on the Pasuk, the Yisro also. But the Rambam writes, not so. The Rambam writes, it's a regular din, a plain old din of a plain old din of Malkus of Kola Terakula. Here, the Rashi is on Ayin Aleph and Aleph in Sanhedrin. Masvin also. So Rashi has, you have to give Asura. It's not the normal din of Hasra. No. This is not a normal din of Malkus, Rashi. Everything is a special Xeris HaKasuv of Ben Saramar. The Malkus is different. The Nisa is, everything is a special parsha. And the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes the Ferish. The Malkus of the Ben Saramar is because it's a regular love like all the love. So I bet it's a lav shebichlolus. The Gemara says on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, you don't get malchus on the lav of Masech Lal Adam. So the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, with respect to Ben Sarah Mar, that's the pshuto shel mikra. So that, since that's Torah shebichsav, pshuto shel mikra, on that you get malchus. The other interpretations, these are additional levels of interpretation. That's lav shebichlolus. Shegamze kalul bahalav. So gamze kalul is Torah shebaal peh. It's not pshuto shel mikra. So some of these are deraisa, some of them are only the rabbanon. Here, this one, l'sechlu al adam minay lechem erabhem chen shetetzei nafsha. So the quote on the margin, Rashi writes that that's only a din with the rabbanon. Asmachta the rabbanon be almahi. Can't be a din deraisa. That's only an asmachta with the rabbanon. Not to eat the behemoth while it's jumping around. You already finished the shechitin. So if he didn't, there is no isa l'sechlu al adam. So that's a shalom. What about this din? That you're not permitted to eat before you daven shacharis. So the Meiri writes like this. The Meiri in the end of Bob Metzia writes, the Rambam's opinion is that there's an obligation to daven once a day, every day, min ha-Torah. So he says, the Rambam will understand that this is a real din deraisa. Vasoch lal adam, you're not allowed to eat before you daven shacharis. If you want to eat, you better daven shacharis first. You're obligated to daven once a day, every day. You don't have to daven 7 o'clock in the morning. If you want, you can daven 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But you can't eat until you daven. So the Meiri is prepared to say, according to the Rambam, that this is a din deraisa. He says, but according to the, all the other Rishonim who disagree, and hold that the obligation to daven once a day, every day, is only midirabbanan. So what are you going to say? You're not obligated to daven every day, but you're not allowed to eat until you daven. So the guy has to fast the whole month. So it's like you're twisting his arm. He has to daven on it to be able to eat. So he says, no, obviously it's only midirabbanan. Is there any way to kvetch that it can be a din deraisa? So the Miri says, yeah, kriyashma is deraisa every day. So he says, it probably goes on kriyashma. You're not allowed to eat before you say kriyashma. That's a din deraisa. Question is, how does it fit into the words? Lasochlo al adam. Bishleim about davening. So the Gemara makes a stretch. You're not allowed to eat kodem shetispalalu al dimchem. Al adam is al dimchem. Before you daven for your life. The daven is to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam that you should remain alive. The Magen Avraham writes that if you say Moedani, you yotze tefillah deraisa. The Magen Avraham comes to Faran for how come the women don't daven in the days of the Magen Avraham, the women didn't daven. So he says, no, the women are only mechuyev to daven tefillah deraisa, and if they say Moedani, that's good enough. So many amasig, many achrenim amasig on the Magen Avraham that Moedani they think is not enough. Because the Gemara in the first parak in Avodah Zarah, that Ches learns that from Sukkim, that you have to first be Mesadah Shvachu Shalakadosh Baruch Hu Vachakakis Palel, and then you have to say Hoidor. You have to start off with Shevach, conclude with Hoidor, a prologue and an epilogue, and then the text of the tefillah itself is Bakosha Sarach. They just say Moedani, so he didn't ask any Bakosha Sarach. And when the Ramam starts off Hilchas Tefillah, so he starts off, what was the din deraisa, and then what did they change? With the Rabbanim, what do they add on? So when the Rambam writes the Dinam Deraisa, he writes you have to have Shevach and Bakosha and Hoido. So Moedani probably will not be good enough. So you have to have Tispalo Adimchem. You have to ask for Bakosha Sarochim. But this part of the Miri is a little difficult. He says, if you hold that Tefillah B'chol Yom is only with the Rabbanon, so but we can still salvage this Drosha. We don't have to say it's an Asmachta. It's an Issa Deraisa to eat before you say Kriyashma. How does the word Kriyashma? How does Kriyashma fit in with Al Adam? Tefillah fits in Al Adam Kodesh Tispalu Al Dimchem before you pray for your life. Before you pray for your life. What does Kriyashma have to do with Al Adam? It's very strange. Midirabbanon, yeah. You have to daven Shachris Dimchem Barav and to eat before Shachris. That's an Issa Midirabbanon. We assume it's an Asmachta Midirabbanon. Shad is according to the Rambam, is it really so? What the Miri writes, according to the Rambam, that there's a dim in our Torah to daven once and every day, so you can interpret the pasuk that it's a real drashik mura deraisa. It's also not mukhrach. It could be that that's also just an asmach. That's questionable. But clearly that is a din. A person is not permitted to eat before davening unless he's unable to daven without the eating a little bit. But a person wakes up and he doesn't feel well, he has to take some medication, and he has to take it with some yogurt or something, he has to eat something to get, okay? So if that'll enable him to daven, if he's not going to have a bite, he won't be able to daven, then the eating is in order to enhance the davening, then it would be mutter. But otherwise, it's not permissible to eat before you daven.
What about there on Shabbos morning? A lot of people will get up, they'll have some cake or cookies before
they daven. So the Gemara says not permissible. That's exactly the Gemara, it's not permissible.
But I remember thinking dinner in Mishnah Berurah, it says you could have a cup of tea or coffee to get a little sip of the davening.
Right, water. We're makel to have water because that's also a machleka, so we're makel, we're lenient that it's permissible to take water. Then the Mishnah Berurah stretches a little bit more to have tea without sugar is also okay, that's considered like water. That's already a cooler. That's the cooler to have some water, yeah.
Why can we use this Gemara also to teach us again by Marav? Why do we have that? I don't know. Why do we say that same thing, Marav is a new day, so we can't really think about Marav.
Yeah. No, we assume that to eat before Musaf and to eat, that's a machlokes later. Is it forbidden to eat before you daven Musaf? So we paskin is mutter. We are permitted to eat before Musaf. Where's that? Here on Chof Ches on the days. On the first wide line, Amar Avuneh. And Chof Ches on the days on the first wide line, Amar Avuneh, and there's no letter because we don't accept it, we don't paskin like this, halacha. Also, Lalalam Shayitim Kulub Kadish is Pal Tfilos on Musafim. So the Gemara says a few lines later, Leis Hilchas Ki Rav Huna, by the tiny letter Gimel. The Gemara said, we don't pass like Rav Huna, it's Mutter to eat before Musaf. The Rishonim just point out, Mutter to eat before Musaf, so how can you duchen in the middle of Musaf? We don't allow duchening in the middle of mincha, even though there's chazaras hashat, because we're afraid that maybe the kohanim had a drink of wine and a shikir or shasa yain is aser lisa is kapo. So if it would have been aser teeth before musav, so we understand how they instituted duchening in musav. But once you come to the conclusion, we pass in it is muta teeth before musav. So how can you allow anyone to duchen during musav? Maybe they'll be shikir. So the Rishonim answer, you're allowed to have a bite before musav, but not to eat a whole suit of vua, not to eat a whole meal. And a lot of shuls, they do wrong on Simchas Torah. They have long hakafas, takes forever. And some yeshivas, they do like that. And then they tell everybody to go home and eat their meal, and then they should gather back together at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to daven musav. So first of all, you're not allowed to have a regular meal before musav. All the Rishonim say over here, Leis Hilchus HaKarafuna means you can have te'ima, you can have a little bit, but you can't have a whole full-fledged meal. And secondly, to daven musaf after to daven musaf so late, after Sheva Shoes, the Gemara says that that's not proper. One Tana, Rabbi Yudah is of the opinion here, the Mishnah quotes it there in Tfilas HaShachar. Rabbi Yudah is of the opinion that the last time, here the Mishnah is Chavav HaMenala, you cannot daven musaf Rabbi Yudah Omer Ad Zayin Shoes. So true, we don't pass like Rabbi Yudah. We pass, you can daven musaf all day long, but the Gemara says he's Nikri Posheya. That's the bottom of Chavches HaMenala. You shouldn't postpone davening musaf so late till 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You have to daven the first hour after Chatzos is Shor Shvius. Whatever Chatzos is, not Chatzos by 1 o'clock, so 1 hour after Chatzos is 2 o'clock. So you have to at least begin davening musaf. Pimgonim says you have to at least begin davening musaf. At least the Tfilah Balachash, you should begin davening Tfilah Balachash before 2 o'clock. You're not supposed to begin davening musaf later. That's what Rabbi Shlomo Kluger complains about, that the Simchas Torah is supposed to be a day in which we show Kavod LaTorah, so people violate all the dinim. That they eat before Kiddush, because everything is so tzedrei. The people forgot that it's Yantav. Now they eat before Kiddush, they sit in the room where they're carrying the Sefer Torah. You're not allowed to sit when you're going around with hakofas. When they carry a Sefer Torah, everyone has to stand, so the people are sitting. And then they eat before Musav, then they daven Musav after Zayin Shoes. They violate everything. That's how you show Kavod LaTorah, to violate all the dinim. People got so carried away with the hakofas.
So you're saying there's no problem with beginning before Musaf, before Zayin Shoes and continuing
afterwards. The Prima Gadim is Mekel, because it says on Yom Kippur,
we always do like that.
So he says, apparently it's good enough if you started at Tfilah Balachash within the Zayin Shoes.
Like Bilam.
Correct, like Bilam. By Musaf we follow that suggestion. Right.
Okay, so one gets a little bit tired, like coffee's getting long, and the person wants to go to the station, actually it's more comfortable, sorry, that you go out
to a different room. Yeah,
that's in a different room.
Right.
And opposed to just sort of sitting down in the shul where they're doing
that. Right, that's where Rav Shlomo Kluger writes. He says it's scandalous that on the day on which we're supposed to be showing more Kavod LaTorah, we are mevazer the Torah.
And what about, sometimes, I mean, when it comes to the Suda, you couldn't, I'm assuming Rosh Hashanah means you can't make a mitzi.
You may say hamoitzi. Yeah. You can say kiddush, you can say hamoitzi, but it has to be a brief meal. It shouldn't be an elaborate meal.
So it's not totally an hamoitzi on us.
No. We shouldn't say you can wash hamoitzi.
Because I remember we used to have like a very big kiddush. We make a very big kiddush early on.
No, I think the Rishonim say on Daf Chav Ches.
But there was no hamoitzi, so that's why I thought it was totally on hamoitzi.
No, they say the virgin may have hamoitzi, but it shouldn't be an elaborate meal.
Well, I'm concerned that Kohanim shouldn't be able to be nothing like Kohanim during Musaf, because they if they're drunk, they can't daven mincha either.
They're drunk, they can't daven mincha. That's if he's Eino Yochel Amid Bifnei HaMelech. He has to be really drunk for that. But Shasa Yayin are not allowed to do Avodas HaKavanos, even if he's not so tipsy. Then we say the same is true when they get to the duchening. The duchening is hukish to the avodas hakarbonos. Yeah. The Ramban in his Pirush al HaTorah comments on the pasuk Losoch Lal Adam. He thinks that the pshuto shel mikra is not the way the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes pshuto shel mikra is it goes on ben sora mora. That's the pshuto shel mikra. So Ramban says no. It's in the middle of all kinds of magic and voodoo and nichush los nachshav los aneinu losoch lal adam. So the Ramban says that he thinks the Pshuto Shal Mikra is referring to an Avodah Zarah practice that they used to have, They used to slaughter an animal, then they gathered together a puddle of blood, and then they would sit together and eat around the puddle of blood, somehow that the blood should have an effect on them, they should give them an arichas yamim or something. So he says that's a form of nichush, some kind of nichush. So he thinks that's a pshuta shal mikra. Not like the Rambam. Okay, then the Gemara quotes Rabbi Shua, Ma'ad Gimel Shoyes, that you can only recite Kriya Shema Atzov Gimel Shoyes. The Gemara says that's how we pass Gemel Halach, Halachik Rabbi Shua. Tesis asks on the previous daf on Tesam and Beis, L'Kriya Shema Kivasikin. How can you say Halachik Rabbi Shua? If it says you're supposed to recite Kriya Shema Kivasikin, Vasikin is before Hanetzachama, Sachastira. The Tesis says one is Lachat Chila, one is B'diyevet. If you want to fulfill the mitzvah Bishlei Musa, say you recite Kriya Shema Kivasikin before Hanetzachama. And but yeah, but if you didn't, then you can recite Kriya Shema up until Sof Gimel Shoyes. Yeah, this L'chatchila Kivasikin, so that's what we discussed already. So the Pasha Pshat is that it's only based on that Pasuk, Yeruchim Shamish Lufnei Ariach Dor Dorim. Yeruchim Shamish, we demonstrate the Yerushamayim with the Zricha Sashemish by reciting Kriya Shema right before the Zricha and reciting Shema Nesri right after the Zricha. That's the Pasuk in Tehillim. Perikayim Beis, Yeruchim Shamish. And the Ramban in the Mohammed says that maybe this is a lachatchila deraisa, a hidda lachatchila deraisa, even without Yeruchim Shamish. Maybe you can figure it out from the fact that the Pasuk says in the singular, B'shoch b'cho o b'kum echo, when the miut b'nei yodam are waking up. Even though most of the people in the dormitory are not waking up before Hanetz Achama, but since there's a miut of people who are waking up at that time, so maybe that's considered the hidder mitzvah. Because the Gemara is medayik on the next daf, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, b'lechtecha b'aderech, d'chof, b'shiftecha, u'b'lechtecha, d'chof, b'lechaz didoch, b'shev is didoch, pat lo'isik b'mitzvah, so what do you medayik from the chof of b'shoch b'cha b'kum echa? So the Ramban suggests in the Mohammed's on the bottom of the earth, maybe it means b'kum echa when the miyot ben yadam are waking up, b'shoch b'cha when the miyot ben yadam are going to sleep. Normally we dash in psukim based on the minig of Roy Vailam, and here you dash in psukim based on the miut b'nei yodim. So it could be, the Ramban suggests, could be that Kriya Shema Kivasikin is a hidur l'chatchila deraisa based on the reading of the pasuk itself. You don't even need the Yeruchim Shamash. Yeruchim Shamash sounds like a package deal. Kriya Shema right before Zvicha and the Shemon Esri right after the Zvicha, that's Vasikin. That's a person who recites Kriya Shema 25 minutes before the sunrise. So it's not really Vosikin, it's not Im Shomesh, but according to the Ramban, that's still a Lachatchila Deraisa. They have the Kriya Shema recited, not immediately before Zricha, but when the Miut Ben Yodam are waking up. Two different Hidur. According to Ramban, it's a separate Hidur in Kriya Shema, not really so much connected with the Zricha. And the Yeruchim Shomesh is that they should be connected with the Zricha. They should be right before the Zricha, they should be right after the Zricha. Then the last piece of Gemara we saw already. Okay. And we discussed how does it fit into the Mishnah. So we discussed the Rabbin Yain and the other Psha. Yeah. Then the Mishnah has a machlekes Bisham and Bisil. When you recite Kriya Shema Shel Shachar, Bisham, your Rabbi opinion, is supposed to stand. When you recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, you should be in a reclining position. Bisil disagree. Kol Adam Kori Kedarka Shenema Balech Tuchav Aderech. Kol Adam Kori Kedarka. The Taz and Simon Ches in Shulchan Aruch quotes a Medrash that a Melech Basav Adam who sends a letter to his subjects will usually require that they should all stand up and they read the letter from the Melech out of Kavod HaMelech. And the Rebbeinu Shlom wants us to recite Kriya Shema every day, so he's very easygoing. Kol Adam Kori Kedarkei. With Atifa, without Atifa, you want to put the talus over your head. You don't want to put the talus over your head. We're not makbid. You want to have Bamida, the yeshiva, the hatoya, in the reclining position. That's why some have a practice that the dafke, when you say Kriya Shema, some people do Atifa, they put the talus over their head in order to recite Kriya Shema with Atifa. So that's exactly what the Ramban quotes the Medrash, that the Rabban Shalom does not require Atifa. So Rav Soloveitchik used to have a practice, he said he remembers his grandfather Rav Chaim used to do like that. That he had Atifa when he said Baruch Hu, when the Chazan said Kaddish, when he said Baruch, then he would take off the talus from his head when he said Kriya Shema, to demonstrate Kol Adam Kari Kedak, that you don't need Atifa to recite Kriya Shema.
So you need to take it off
So they wanted to demonstrate that the Dafke, that the din is Kol Adam Kari Kedak. You see, we're going to have to learn the Gemara, Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, to see what a Beisilah have to say here. This, whatever you had a machlekes b'sham and b'silah. So Gemara said usually b'silah was in the majority. So when the majority wins, achram lahatos. So what do the miut do? The miut have to follow the roiv, or do we say no? Also b'sham and kidivrim. B'sham are permitted to follow their position. So that's a discussion in the Gemara in Yevamos in the first perik, whether also b'sham and kidivrim, or loy also b'sham and kidivrim. That's in Yevamos daf yud dalet. Here, Rabbi Kivegra on the Mishnah refers you to Ein Gemara Yivam is Yudala, Ein Tosi Yivam is Yudala. So the Gemara says, what's the issue? The Gemara shows from the Mishnah, Reb Tarfon obviously was a follower of the Beis Shammai. He says, Ani ha'isi bo baderech lihi teisi kidivri Beis Shammai. I follow Beis Shammai's opinions. So he see that also Beis Shammai kidivrim. The Gemara raises the issue because there's a pasuk that says, Lois is goydadu. So the Pasha B'Shat Lois is going to do means you're not allowed to, when a relative dies, you're not allowed to fall to pieces and scratch into your skin in such a way that you cause bleeding to show how distraught you are over the death of the person. We believe that the neshama remains alive, the goof died and the neshama is alive. So we shouldn't fall to pieces.
Isn't there a Pasuk in Yirmiyah where there were people who were mourning the Beis HaMikdash and they were
Right. So I think Taisa says it's only if you're mourning a human being. Because we believe that the neshama is still alive. You're mourning the Beis HaMikdash, we have no Beis HaMikdash. So the din of lois is gadadu doesn't apply by Beis HaMikdash. Or if you're mourning the death of a Talmud Chacham, also, we know his neshama is alive. What does that help us? We mourn the Talmud Chacham. It does not. But if a relative dies, if a close friend dies, then there's a din of lois is gadadu. The person does gedida because of the Kovid HaTorah, because of Kovid HaMikdash, it's a different din. So we have the pasuk loses go to do. Pasuk pshat means you're not allowed to scratch into the body because we believe that neshama is still alive. And the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. Lasasu agudas agudas. You're not allowed to have in one community, in one area, that half of the people observe the mitzvahs in one way, half the people observe the mitzvahs in another way, that it should give the appearance, kilo nasas atar kishtei tar, as if they're two different religions, which is often the case. So the Gemara says, Shaila, did Beis Shammai follow their opinion or not? If they're going to follow their opinion when they're in the minority, should that constitute a violation of Lois's Godot? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion, it's not a violation of Lois's Godot. So when does Lois's Godot apply in this sense, Lasas or Agudas, Agudas? So that's a Machloikes Abai Verava. Is it only if you have the two groups in the same Beis Medrash, half of the people following one sheet, half of the people following the other sheet, that's glaring contradiction, that's agudas agudas. What if you have two batei midrashim in the same city? Maybe if it's be'ir achas, maybe it's already a violation of lois's god. Maybe I should say no, as long as it's in different base medrash, it's not a violation. That's the common practice. This shul davens nusach ashkenaz, they do say tachna, they don't say tachna. But within each shul, it's consistent. But you're going to have within each shul, it's going to be inconsistent within the shul. If you have two practices within the same shul, so that's an issue of lois is goyded. So that's when the Gemara says, you can see from our Mishnah, he teisi kidiri Beis Shammai, that also Beis Shammai kidivre. He was a follower of Beis Shammai, and he followed Beis Shammai's opinion. It was either in a different city, he was on the highway. Mistama, when he davened, according to the Maskanas, when he davened in a Beis Medrash, where the Beis Hillel were running the show, he wouldn't be mata kidiri Beis Shammai, he was on the highway. What if you'll be in another shul in the same city? So that's a machlokes abai v'rava. Shaila and the Rambam had a paskin. Whether you paskin like, usually paskin like rava. Shaila, maybe the Rambam over here paskin is like abai. Okay, so we're going to have to learn b'li neder tomorrow. I have to learn more yud aleph and aleph. What would Beis Hillel say if you'll be machma like Beis Shammai? If the person will go out of his way to put the talus over his head when he says kriyashma and bedavke to recite kriyashma shal shachar ba'amida, to recite kriyashma shal arviz b'hatoya, maybe Bisila will say that you're not Yotze. Maybe the din requires Dafke. Kol Adam Kori Kedarka. If you go out of your way to recite the Kriya Shema, maybe Bisila will say that you're not Yotze. So that we have to learn tomorrow, the next Gemara. Okay.